This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. North Carolina's 2011 redistricting will be reconsidered. United States Supreme Court ordered the North Carolina Supreme Court to take another look at the controversial voting districts drawn by the Republican-controlled legislature following the 2010 census. Plaintiffs argue the move was designed to pack racial minorities into a few districts and dilute minority electoral power in others. Proponents of the redistricting say the changes are legal. Yesterday's move by the U.S. Supreme Court sent the case back to North Carolina judiciary to re-examine the redistricting in light of the Supreme Court's ruling on a similar case in Alabama. Joining me now is Duke Law Professor and Director of Duke Center on Law, Race, and Politics, Guy Charles. Guy Charles, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Give us an overview of the case, essentially what the justices were looking at and what they decided.
Sure. So here's a fairly quick background. Obviously, the states have to redistrict every 10 years, and many of them are doing so in a context in which they're trying to create political advantage. There are also a number of rules that govern the redistricting process, one of which is that it has to be constitutional, that it has to apply to one person, one vote, that it can't dilute the votes of racial minorities under the Voting Rights Act. And so here in North Carolina, what the Republicans did when they redistricted, they said, look, we need to comply with the Voting Rights Act, and therefore that means that creating certain types of districts, majority-minority districts, in which they place more than 50% of the folks in those districts were African Americans, and they justified that by saying that they were complying with the Voting Rights Act. Plaintiffs complained that, no, what you are doing is that you are packing African-American voters, taking them from other places and stuffing them in particular sets of districts. That is a violation of both the Constitution and the Voting Rights Act. The plaintiffs lost in the North Carolina state courts, but there was a similar case out of Alabama, and the Supreme Court said that the Alabama courts applied the wrong standard and also said to the North Carolina Supreme Court that North Carolina needs to apply the right standard and sent this case back down for them to reconsider in light of the Supreme Court's opinion. So that's the setup and the background. In some respects, the Republicans are saying this is legal and it's about partisanship, and the Democrats and the plaintiffs are saying this is about race.
Right. So, and the Republicans are saying essentially, what do you mean dilute? We put more African Americans in those districts. We strengthen their voting power rather than, and we're complying. In fact, we're complying in a big way with Voting Rights Act.
That's right. And the response to that by the plaintiffs are that they are putting more people in those, more African Americans in those districts than is necessary. Or to put it in a different way, the Voting Rights Act did not require or justify the actions by the Republicans in the redistricting process.
You talked about the standard that the U.S. Supreme Court should have been applied in Alabama and now in North Carolina and wasn't. What is that standard?
So the big question is, what does it mean to say that you're putting in too many African Americans or voters of color in a particular district? In legal parlance, the term that we use is that race predominated. And so what the Supreme Court of the United States did was to define what the standard of race what does race predomination mean, and then now to say this is what this standard means, and now all the courts have to follow and apply that standard. So that's the question that was at the heart of the Alabama case, and that the North Carolina Supreme Court will have to, North Carolina courts will have to now apply from the U.S. Supreme Court.
Does that standard, rather than have you sort of describe it, because it's a legal theory, I would guess, does the standard apply to intent or effect?
It applies mainly to effect because it's very hard to ascertain intent. There are many different types of people involved in the redistricting process, as we all know. And so determining intent is really hard. So what you're looking at, you're saying, okay, what did the legislature do and what is the justification for its action? So when the legislature moved a certain number of people into a particular district, how are they justifying what they did? Are the reasons that they're giving, are those reasons sensible?
Well, the thing is, political motivations for gerrymandering have long been upheld by the law. So if I wanted to say this has always been a Democratic district, this district has been in Democrats' hands for a long time, if I were to pull some Democrats from the adjoining district that has been in contention, I would then perhaps favor Republicans in that district, and I wouldn't do a thing because I've already lost this seat. They've been able to say that. So if I said I did it for political reasons, not racial reasons, because this group has voted predominantly Democrat in the past, don't I end up with the same voting district?
You can. So there are two caveats. So you are 100% right that political motivations generally get the legislature a pass. Now, there is one caveat here, which is that there's still the Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, which says, look, you can't dilute the vote of particular racial groups. Now, that include whites as a racial group, but also African Americans in this particular case. The second caveat is that the Republicans also said that their purpose here was to comply with the Voting Rights Act, and so that's why that is at the focus and the heart of this lawsuit.
Getting back to the effect, if I can demonstrate as the plaintiffs that the effect of this was to dilute voting privileges of African Americans, whatever your intent, if I can demonstrate that, does that mean the lines would have to be redrawn?
Yeah. So if it goes back down and the plaintiffs win in the lower courts, then the lines would have to be redrawn. And now we'll have to make a determination as to, well, how many districts. So the plaintiffs prove that race predominated and 1, 2, 3. And so depending upon the number of districts, it might be that the larger plan is in jeopardy, but it could be that the state can get away with just 1 or 2, depending on what the findings are at the court below.
All right. And that's what we have to make clear. And I think we've made it clear. The U.S. Supreme Court did not say your voting districts are unconstitutional.
Not
have
at
to
all.
Be redrawn. They said we're going to send it back to the court that approved this plan. So what does that mean? What happens next?
Well, more than likely, we'll go back down to the trial court, which in this case was a court of 3 judges. And that court will have to take the standard that the U.S. Supreme Court said is the applicable one, and then it will look at the facts of its case and will apply that standard and determine whether there was any law violated. It might still come out the same way and say, no, this is perfectly constitutional and it did not violate any federal statute such as the Voting Rights Act, or it might find that the standard in fact changes the outcome of the case.
We are talking today about the U.S. Supreme Court ruling on redistricting in North Carolina. We're talking about that today on The State of Things. My guest is law professor Guy Charles from Duke Law. So what happens? There's a 3-judge panel that at the trial level, it went through that process, then went to the state Supreme Court. Would it go through those steps again?
More than likely that the state Supreme Court will send it back down to the trial court to make findings of fact or to make a determination. That's the more likely route. And then, depending upon what happens, the loser will likely appeal to the state Supreme Court. And then, depending again what happens, the loser there might ask the U.S. Supreme Court to grant cert and the case. So if you see the same result again with the plaintiffs losing, they will probably petition the U.S. Supreme Court to grant cert and ask them to take the case and this time try to decide the case on the merits.
I was going to say, so then they wouldn't say, oh, yeah, no, you did it wrong again, send it back. They would say, okay, we'll decide this.
If they took it, they would then decide it on the merits.
All right. So then let's suppose that at some point along the way, one of the courts said, you made a mistake. These lines cannot stand. There have already been elections in those districts. What happens to the people who got elected from those districts?
There's nothing that can be done. And so now the question is going forward, will the state have to redraw either particular district or districts or to come up with a redistricting plan if the state loses below and the lower courts? And if they do, then that's likely the case. There's an interesting interplay here between race and politics. Some people, in fact, fact believe that this is a political gerrymandering plan masquerading as a racial gerrymandering plan. And if that's true, then it undermines the political gerrymandering that some people believe is going on in the states. Other people believe that it is, in fact, a racial gerrymandering plan, that the rights of racial minorities are being affected. And then other people believe that this is perfectly legal and there's absolutely nothing wrong with it.
We know the parts of the state of North Carolina fell under the Voting Rights Act, and as a result, any changes to voting districts had to be approved by the Department of Justice, and were. The DOJ did approve the redistricting plan. What part, if any, does that play in all of this?
So there are two significant sections of the Voting Rights Act. There's Section 5, which says, look, before, for certain places that are covered by Section 4 of the Voting Rights Act, before you can make any changes to elections, you have to pre-clear. And so these plans were pre-cleared under Section 5 with the DOJ, meaning that you have to get prior approval. Now, the Supreme Court a few years ago struck down an important section of the Voting Rights Act, which means that Section 5 now is not operative, and so no longer is preclearance required in 40 counties in North Carolina, and so a new redistricting plan would not have to go before the DOJ. But there's another important section, Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, which prevents a redistricting plan from diluting or minimizing the voting power of groups on the basis of race. That one is still applicable, and any redistricting plan will have to comply, and it's the one that is at issue in this particular
case.
Would
it have to be pre-cleared, or could you sue under that?
No, it doesn't have to. So no longer is pre-clearance required, right, but plaintiffs would have to sue under Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, and the state will have to keep in mind that Section 2 is there in the background.
All right. Guy Charles, thank you so much for talking with us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Guy Charles, a law professor and the director of Duke's Center on Law, Race, and Politics. Just ahead, we're going to take a look at what hip-hop has in common with math and science education. We'll talk about it on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.